your kids come home from school, as we just think about that with our minds, with our eyes closed, how do you greet them? You greet them with arms open wide. Is your heart wide open this morning for the Lord to speak to you? Your arms wide open. And then in return, can we say that He is mine? I am His and He is mine. I know sometimes we don't think about doing things physically. I'm not asking you to do this, but sometimes physically we seem to put our arms out and just to think about, Lord, my arms are open wide to hear what you have for me to hear today. My arms open wide because I'm full to give back to you. Lord, may that chorus we just sung, my whole life is yours. I'm surrendered to your name. Lord, would it be true what we just sung, that you would have your way in us? Lord, that's what we just declared to you. That's what we just said. Lord, now may that be true by the preaching of your word. Lord, would you speak to this incredible truth that is just absolutely unbelievable of what you've called us to be and who you've called us to be and how we're called to live that out in our daily lives. Lord God, would you help me to communicate these words? I am unworthy, I know, to declare these precious words of Scripture. But I pray that in spite of me, you would speak loudly and clearly. I know that you will. But Lord, give us ears to hear, feet to respond, a heart to be convicted, a heart to be transformed. Oh, Lord, thank you for meeting with us this morning. Lord, bind our wandering heart to thee. Lord, you've heard your bride sing to you. Now, Father, would you sing over us as we open the bread of life? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You take your copy of God's Word in 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 4. While you're turning there, I want to give you an incredible opportunity, two incredible opportunities really, to really live out this message. And I want to tell it to you on the front side, and I'll remind you on the back side. But on the front side, I want to tell you two incredible mission opportunities God has placed before our church family. The first is this coming Saturday. We had scheduled a church work day, and we're still going to try to do a little bit of those pieces, but Miss Phyllis Hensterling. How do you remember the name Miss Phyllis Hensterling? I don't know if Miss Phyllis is here or not. Miss Phyllis, are you here? Have you seen her, Andy, this morning? I don't see her in here. Miss Phyllis is a member of our church, and we last fall, her husband had a stroke and been in a car accident. We were going to help her finish her house. Her husband, in the meanwhile, got sick. They had to bring the project to a halt. In the meanwhile, her husband passed away. Passed away earlier this year, and she's been getting her house ready, and so she's ready for sheetrock. And we made a commitment to her that when she got ready, it's a little bit short notice, but when she got ready, we were going to be there to help her begin the process of her getting into that house that she and her husband have been working on for several years, 3 or 4 or 5 years they've been working on together. And we made a commitment to help her do that. And so this Saturday at 7 a.m., we're going to do both those things together. Joey Roberts is helping head that up, and Andy Simmons, some other guys, are helping us head that up. But we need to know who's going to be there so we can get everything lined up for this Saturday. Again, if I can help, anybody can help. I always say that. And so if you'd like to be a blessing, Miss Phyllis, let's get this sheetrock up in her house on Saturday. It'll be a huge blessing. You can spend 4 or 5 hours and walk away knowing you have been a huge help. And listen, you have fulfilled Scripture. James 1:27 reminds us, pure and undefiled religion is to take care of widows and orphans. She's a widow. She's a member of our church family. We have a chance to bless her this coming Saturday and help her. So if you could be a part of that, on the way out the door, Andy and Joey, I ask you, don't mind being out there too? If he's here, I think Joey's here somewhere. Or no, he's not here. Nope. Zan can represent him. How about that? Is that good, Zan? She knows all the construction stuff. Andy will be back there for sure. You can ask him questions. Say, hey, I'll be there. Let me know what I can do to help. We've got a lot of projects here at the church. We still are trying to finish up some loose ends of some projects you could help us with. It'd be tremendous. That's the first opportunity to be on mission with the Lord. The second one is either one of 2 days, and we really need to know from you when is the best date or the most folks are available, Saturday, July the 12th or July the 19th. One of our strategies as a church family is to be on mission with the Lord in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. We are really closing in on the uttermost parts of the earth part. We're doing things locally here. The next part of that for us is our Judea, which is Samaria, or Samaria rather, which is, or no, sorry, Judea. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, is that right? So our Judea is Mississippi. And so in Jackson, there was a church there in part of inner city Jackson, in part of north, northwest Jackson. Met a pastor there about 4 or 5 weeks ago, Brother Carl Tyner. He and his wife are retired from the school system. They're now planted this church there in inner city Jackson. They've inherited an old Methodist church there that has been dilapidated. They've gutted the building. They need help getting it completed. And I met him, and just our hearts connected, and I said, man, I believe I could speak for our church. I stepped out on the old proverbial way past the camera limb, okay? And I'm right here. So don't leave me hanging, all right? July the 12th and 19th, one of those two Saturdays, we're going to go to his church. They need to do landscaping, painting, plumbing, electrical, all those things, roofing, all those things. This is open to men and women alike. If you can hold up a piece of sheetrock, then fantastic. We can use you, all right? And if you can help with landscaping, you can help in any of those two Saturdays. We really need to know today who can be a part of that. And as usual, we're awful, awful sign-uppers, all right? Baptist and large, we just hate to sign up to the last minute. So today's the last minute, so congratulations, you've waited. And so if you'll help us, go to that table and say, I want to be a part. Member or not, doesn't matter. I want to be a part of blessing somebody. You can be a blessing in June and July, all right? Opportunities to be a blessing. So if you want to know more about that, see those guys, I want to encourage you. I'll be at both of those. I'm going to be a part of that. I'm committed to that. I'm giving up my Saturday because I believe in what we're doing and the call there. We can bless another church. And by the way, this is an African-American congregation there in Northwest Jackson, which is just God's continuing partnership. Hopefully some folks in Mount Vernon will be able to come. A lot of them have to work on Saturday, but hopefully we'll still be able to grab a few of their folks to be a part of that trip with us as well. So incredible opportunities that God has placed before us, and I'm excited that you get to be a part of that. We're placing those before you to say, here they are. Take them up and eat them, all right, and be a part of those opportunities. Well, 1 Peter chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 4, powerful, powerful words of Scripture written by the Apostle Peter, and incredible words, and they're just powerful words. I know that we were standing a long time, but would you mind, let's stand in honor of reading of these precious words from God's Word. They're all precious, but these incredibly so, talking about living stones. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, they're on the screen there, and you have an outline we'll be using in just a moment. And coming to Him as to a living stone rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God. You, Petal First Baptist, are you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And now he quotes from the Old Testament. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, there is a word as well for us this morning, or for you that disbelieve. The stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble. Why? Because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you, here it is again, but you, Petal First Baptist, but you as an individual, you are what? A chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. God, thank you so much that though we were far away from you, you called us to yourself. And though we were once not a people, we are. Now you call us a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God, you say those words about us. God, may we live them. May they be true in our lives. May you teach us what it means of the priesthood of the believer today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In Revelation chapter 1, chapter 5, chapter 20, we find these same truths echoed in the book of Revelation that John wrote on the Isle of Patmos. And in those scriptures, he talks about the fact that God is making us to be a kingdom of priests. A kingdom of priests. Folks, you and I are called priests by God. That is a powerful word. Now, I want to say this to dads in particular, to men of a household. You are called, really the Bible talks about three offices, or if you will, or three responsibilities of a man in his home. He is called to be the prophet, he is called to be the king, and he is called to be the priest of his family. But I want to make a much larger connection for those of us as individuals. This third and the third of our series, why are we Baptists? The first, the B, being the Bible as our sole authority. The last week we talked about the autonomy, the A, the autonomy, the local church. The third part of why we're Baptists, Baptist distinctives that set us apart. The P is the priesthood of the believer. We're going to talk about what that means this morning and how that impacts our lives and really, quite frankly, what a truth that we ought to walk out of here this morning in complete awe and wonder that God would allow us to be a priest unto Him and to the world. It is an important Baptist distinctive, and quite frankly, it is in most Protestant denominations. It was lost, this important doctrine was lost in the Dark Ages. It was brought back to the table by Martin Luther in the Reformation. And for us, it is found in the preamble, in the beginning parts of the Baptist faith and message. Listen to what it says here in the beginning parts of it. Here's what it says. Baptists emphasize the soul's competency before God, freedom in religion, and the priesthood of the believer. However, they give us a warning. The emphasis should not be interpreted to mean that there is an absence of certain definite doctrines that Baptists believe, cherish, and with which they have been and now are closely identified. It is the purpose of this statement of faith and message to set forth certain teachings which we believe. Now we're going to talk about, as we work through, what this means. Now, I want to give you some background of this idea of priests, what this means. Now, how many of you are like me and you walk someplace and you see a door or you see a sign or you go to a concert or you go to a place and there is a place that says no access? It's a place that says no entrance beyond this point, no admittance beyond this point without proper identification. How many of you see a sign like that and you think to yourself, I would love to know what's behind that sign? Would you join me with that if you are like that person? Okay. Oh, see, there are a lot of you. We're in this group together. Now, some of you, you walk by a door and you could care less. Me, I want to know what's behind door number one, okay? And door number two and door number three, all right? I love to know. I love to have backstage access, right? I can remember a few times in my life, I've served on different teams, and we had backs, and you got to wear a big old placard, you know, that said, all access. I just kind of strut a little bit. I'm like, I can go back here, and you can't. And there's that, usually that big guy, you know, standing there. It's really big, intimidating by the curtain, you know, and you can't walk by. And hospitals, some of our folks work in hospitals. There's lots of those doors in hospitals, you know. You know, I pray with families, and I send them behind into what seems to be the great unknown. None of us have ever seen an operating room, right? Very few of us, unless you've had surgery, and then you don't even remember it. Some of you have seen it, so I want to go back there where you're not supposed to go. It beckons me to go, right? I see a door that says, don't go through it. I think to myself, I think I'll go through it. You know, that's who I am. Now, here's the incredible thing about the Lord and about this access, if you will. The Bible is very clear. There is a great chasm between God and man when we are lost. When we are the unbeliever, when we reject the chief cornerstone and we choose to live our own lives, our own way, there is a separation between God and man. We have no access to God. In the Old Testament, there was no access to God except through the Old Testament priest. It was kind of like for them when you go into those awesome computer programs and we all have to have 9,000 passwords of which you have to change every 30 days because somebody else finds out your password. And so you have limited access, we think. We have to always have all these ways to have access. What is the access for us to God? What is the password? The password is simply this, folks. It's really simple. It's Jesus. That is the password. That is what gives us access to the Father. In Old Testament days, there was no access, very limited access, if you will, and there was a chosen group of people, Levites, who were called to be the priests. They were the center of the Jewish community and gave Israel access to God. Without the priest, there was no access to God. There was no forgiveness of sins. There was no sacrifices that could be offered. But there was only a select few that were priests. And even more than that, there was even a tighter group of people who could go into the Holy of Holies, the holiest of places. And only that person could go in one time a year. And that was so holy in the presence of God, literally, no lie, they would tie a rope to the person and put a bell on them, because sometimes priests would go in, they had not done the proper ritual and not prepared spiritually to walk into that environment, scary thing, and they would die in the presence of God. They would have a rope. They could pull them out of the Holy of Holies, because you couldn't go in there. You went in the Holy of Holies, you weren't supposed to be there. You would die. It was representative of the presence, the holiest presence of God. And so it was almost like to the Jewish nation, it was kind of like this thing that I could never get to, I could never see. It was limited. However, we see, obviously, for us on this side of the new covenant, we come to understand an incredible important truth that really changes who we are. Changed everything. The coming of Jesus Christ dying on that cruel, rugged cross. It changed everything. We know the story. He came and died on the cross. The Bible says when he died, when he said it is finished, he gave up his spirit. The Bible says the temple veil, that of the Holy of Holies, the holiest place, in that moment was rent. It was torn, notice, from the top to the bottom. Now, you know that to be true. Why that's important? Because who could have, in the tent, the curtain was very tall. Nobody could have rent it, torn it from the top to the bottom. We can rent from the bottom to the top, right? But it's emphasizing and signifying that God had said, no longer is there limited access to me because of Jesus Christ coming and dying on a cross. I now have access. The gulf can be crossed through the cross of Jesus Christ. Therefore, every believer from that point forward has complete, unfettered, total access to God. And I don't need any person, I don't need a priest, I don't need a preacher, I don't need a deacon, I don't need anybody to have access to God. That is amazing. We really can't fathom that because we're Gentile. We always seem to be on the outside. The Jewish folks really get that, especially those that are Messianic Jews, really understand this incredible truth that they once couldn't have access, now they can have access to God. There was a seismic shift. The only barrier that would then keep a person from having access to Christ, lost person, and even follower of Christ, was this one word, the word sin. And our choices. The Bible says God doesn't hear us when we have sin in our lives, and so that keeps us from having that unfettered, that completely clean access to the Lord. That's why we sing songs and pray prayers like, Lord, make me pure, make me clean, make me whole, so I can be in your presence. You have access to the Father. And not only do we have that access to the Father, no longer does the presence of God just live in a temple or in a church. The Bible says that our bodies, our temple, we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 5:20, it says, therefore glorify God with your body. Why? Because you and I have been bought with a price. And I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I have living inside of me, and this is hard for children to get and grasp, but living inside of us is the very presence of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so my body is a sacrifice of worship. That's why we get Romans 12:1. Therefore, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your spiritual service of worship. Great news. Every person in this room can pray to God and God will hear you. You don't need anybody to help you. You don't need anybody to speak for you. You need anybody to help you unlock the secret codes. You can have complete access to the Father today. Now, be very clear about this as we do every series, and I want to emphasize this. We're not knocking any other denomination. We're not saying that we've got the corner market and everything. We're simply saying these are Baptist distinctives that are vitally important that you understand what it means to be Southern Baptists. That we base on what the Word of God says, we believe it to say. Now, notice these few truths this morning. Number one,